I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 600. Tonight, my shoes are gonna rage like it's 1992.
Oh, yeah.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl Gaming, Tech Gadget, and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi, sis.
600.
I know.
Hunt it.
Did you say that six times? Because you should have.
I don't know. I think I did.
I counted four. But
I wasn't counting.
Hunt it. There we go. 600. Yeah, 600.
I mean, it should be a collaborative thing. So I probably should have done three, and you should have done three.
Nah,
in hindsight,
you're the older sister. It's fine.
The same. it's a democracy. It's not dictatorship.
But it's the 600. I can't believe.
It's the 600.
I cannot believe this number.
You should believe this number.
We have digital proof.
We have 599 episodes behind this.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't include the by five things when we were doing episodes separately when one of us was sick. And then we realized, let's just do clip shows instead because it's better. Because we're not great by ourselves.
I mean, speak for yourself.
I say I'm not great. I'm good. But by myself, I need comic reliefs. I can't just be a straight man by myself. It's just boring.
I know, bro.
Okay? And then I try to be a straight man and be funny at the same time. I mean, and I can't do that. I can't walk and chew bubble gum.
Sometimes life is hard and you gotta eat just a peanut butter sandwich, but be grateful for that peanut butter and that bread, right?
Exactly. Okay.
But sometimes when you can get the peanut butter and the jelly.
Right. That's when it's a great sandwich. But a peanut butter sandwich, that's a good sandwich.
I mean, that sandwich will get you through the few hours that you need.
Okay.
But is it really what you want?
At that. So, don't hate on a peanut butter sandwich.
I'm not.
But love the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Right. But anyway, that's clearly not what we're talking about on the show today.
And again, we still haven't learned the lesson in 600 episodes to eat before we do the podcast. But anyway, I digress, i.e. Tangent Town. We have a bunch of game stuff to talk about. It's one of those years where I severely suffer from FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said before that, there's not a lot of reason for us to go to PAX West because we have PAX East right here in our backyard, and it's an earlier in the year look and touch on games, and the majority of what we see at PAX East is what's happening at PAX West. So for us to really spend the $2,400 it would take to get out there, get put up, have the transportation that we need and food, it just doesn't make a lot of sense for us because that's, our own out-of-pocket. But this year is one of the years where I'm like, shit, maybe we should have been at PAX West. Because there are a bunch of announcements that have been coming out of the show. By the time this podcast airs, PAX will just be ending. Because PAX West is 4 days, like PAX East is now. And I gotta say, I've been really surprised that there have been so many reveals at PAX West, that there's been so many announcements at PAX West, and not just from a single developer, but from multiple developers, which is really cool. But I want to jump in first, because I make no bones about it. I love the Xbox ecosystem. I am an Xbox MVP. I have been for a few years now. And basically, that just means that I'm part of a group of people that gets to bring the voice of the community that I represent to Microsoft throughout the year, just to present feedback and you know, desires and things like that. So, you know, one of the things that I've been involved with a lot has been the Inclusivity and Diversity Initiative at Microsoft, which I'm really proud to see them adopt really and truly at their core. You know, it's very not very often that big organizations do that and adopt that as one of their core mantras, mottos, reasons for being in the world. It's usually, you know, the soft thing that marketing adds on at the end to be like, this is how we prove that we're human beings. But it's lip service.
Yeah, but if you're putting it at the end, then clearly it was like the last thing you thought about.
Right. It's the lip service thing that you do as opposed to, you know, the livable, breathable part of, you know, our recruiting and what we build and what we market and what we produce. So I've been really thrilled to be able to watch that kind of grow and evolve and to share my thoughts on, you know, what inclusivity and diversity and representation in video games really means, and to have, you know, some really amazing people listen and take notes, which means that they're really listening and they found some of the things I said to be interesting, which makes me feel good. But there was some news that came out that I'm really stoked to talk about. I don't know if you heard. Did you hear about Xbox All Access?
No.
Okay, so what Xbox All Access is basically a subscription service that bundles an Xbox One X or an Xbox One S, depending upon what monthly payment level you want to subscribe to, with Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass.
Okay.
So
that seems like a lot.
It is a lot. Like, this is the thing. So you get a console, you get Vive.
You get console, you get a membership.
Okay.
You get access to games, so you don't have to buy games unless you want to buy games. And how much you pay
okay.
for this?
So basically, you pay one monthly
fee. How much?
Okay. Hold on. I want to get all the details out because I think that this is really important. Okay. You get 0% APR financing for 24 months.
Okay.
So 2 years. Uh-huh. You get 24 months of Xbox Game Pass. So you get 2 years of Game Pass. You get 2 years of Xbox Live Gold.
Okay.
Okay. And so you can get Xbox One S package with all that stuff for $21.99 a month.
What?
Or,
girl,
if you get the Xbox One X package, it's $34.99 a month.
Whoa, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
How this?
You give the credit card and they say, this money, I get this money, you get this stuff. Like all jokes aside, this is really a fantastic deal. And I think that it's one that, in all honesty, it kind of took Microsoft making three boxes to figure out that, hey, maybe the subscription model is one that we should follow, because that seems to be working really well for some other people in the industry. Like Apple with the iPhones. Because the biggest barriers to entry for, you know, the Xbox One S and the Xbox One X is the hardware. Because in order to really take advantage of those systems, you have to have a 4K TV. And 4K TVs, you know, up until the last couple months have been cost prohibitive for most consumers because they already have a good functioning LED TV. It's hard to justify, well, let me just get rid of this and spend another $700 or $800 to get a 4K TV. Now let me spend another $400 to get a 4K Xbox.
Nah.
Like, most people are trying to be a little more frugal these days because you don't know what's going on with the government and don't want to spend that money. You know, like, I've been talking about for a while getting a 4K TV because that's what's kept me from getting an Xbox One X, is I don't have a 4K TV. So it doesn't make sense for me to get that box.
And not be able to bank on the capabilities that it has because your TV can't support it.
Right. Because I do want to take my Xbox One out of rotation because it's a day one Xbox. And I've been very lucky, knock on wood, to not have any issues with it, but it's, you know, a couple of years old now. If issues are going to start popping up, they're going to start popping up now. Like, I retired my day one controller literally a month after I got got it because I didn't want to damage it, and it was already starting to have some thumbstick problems. So, you know, my thing has been waiting for 4K TVs to become affordable, and I feel like this holiday season that's going to happen because I've already got, you know, some of my local retailers that have 60-inch plus 4K actual ultra, you know, HDR 4K TVs in the sub-$500 range. And so even at that, I'm like, but when I put it all together, I don't have $900 to do a TV and a system. So I still was like, I'll probably just get the TV this holiday season. And, you know, maybe for my birthday, I'll ask for money. And then I'll be able to, you know, get the Xbox One X. But I'll be honest with you, with this subscription service, which I'm fine with paying a monthly fee. I pay a monthly fee for my phone.
Right.
Because I do the, you know, the new phone every year plan because it just makes sense for me. I'd much rather pay, you know, $30 a month than come up with $1,200 to drop at the time to get the phone. I typically do like to change out phones every year because there's usually enough features and advancements with camera and with battery life and with storage that for me, because I use my phone when we go to events to take pretty much all of our photography now. And even to do some interviews and to do some lives, that's all done through my phone. I need a phone with a good amount of storage that, you know, can hold video that I'm shooting at 60 frames a second. So it makes sense to me to do that as a monthly payment plan thing so that if I want to keep the phone for more than a year, I'm still just paying the monthly payment versus, you know, coming up with that big chunk of cash in one fell swoop.
I mean, it's very frugal. It's very frugal and cost, you know, beneficial for you. But for those of us who always loved getting hand-me-down newer tech, those days are over for a certain gal.
The hand-me-down days of phones are pretty much
over. I mean, granted, to end on, you know, an iPhone 6 Plus was not a bad way to end it.
Right.
But damn, do miss the fact that I don't have the portrait feature. Could pony that up,
well,
but why?
Here's the deal, you know, just to hop, you know, skip and jump for one hot second, and I'm going to come back because I really do want to talk about Xbox All Access.
Yeah,
is, you know, the Apple event is coming. It's September 12th,
right?
So they're gonna announce new phones and Lord knows what else.
Right.
Hopefully they'll do something with the Mac Mini line because that hasn't been touched in forever. But you know, unless there's something like leaps and bounds ahead of my ex, because I love my ex. I really do. It took me a little bit to get used to the size because I really like the size of the pluses.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is not as big as a plus, but I have become very attached. So unless something like super dope amazing comes out, if it's just like a bump to the ex, I'm going to keep this phone for another year. So at that point, I will own it. And so when I get a new phone,
right,
then we
get down. I'm just saying. I mean, so I have lived,
don't rule
lived
it out.
A very good life of if I wait long enough, someone will just give me something that's better than what I'm using.
I mean, look, that's how you got an iPad mini.
I mean, yeah, my mini, my phone that I currently have. I mean, I bought my MacBook Air.
Yep.
But then that one broke, and then they gave me
a
better one.
Got out of the deal.
Yeah.
And you got a nice line of Astros.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only big ticket items that I've ever purchased with my own monies was my PS4, which I now barely use because I use my husband's, which makes no goddamn sense to me because I could just use mine. And the PS4 that I bought Evan, or a KBD. No, it wasn't four I gave him. I bought him a three.
Yeah, you bought
back in the day. I bought him a three. And, like, I thought I was balling back then.
Nope.
And I'm like, nope.
But here's the deal. So, you know, Xbox All Access, frankly, I think makes Xbox going into holiday very strong.
It does. I can't see how that will not hit a lot of people's
sweet spots.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if you don't have a 4K TV, you know, the Xbox One S is a great box.
Yeah.
Okay. And so for $22 a month.
I mean, say it like this. Like, say you got your gamer who's still sitting on, like, his old Xbox, about to go off to college. Hey, kid, I'm going to give you here. I'm going to buy you the subscription for this box for a full year. After that, it's on you, but that's still a full year.
Well, it's 2 years.
Two years. So when you're a sophomore in college, you best pick up some type of job to carry this $20 a month subscription.
Right. But I got you for the first year, but like, I think it's very accessible.
Yeah. Okay?
It makes the Xbox platform now something to be an easier choice for people who are looking to pick up either their first console system or their second. Right, because really, at this point, you know, for many gamers, you have a console in your home, whether that's a Switch or a PlayStation or an Xbox, you know, already.
I actually think that that's more apt to say Switch over the other consoles, because I think projections came out that many more Switches were bought this year.
I don't doubt it because it's a super portable system. Okay, and they've got, you know, games that people want to play on there. You want to play a Link game, you want to play a Zelda game, guess what? You're getting a Switch. You want to play, you know, the Squid Kid game?
Splatoon?
Yep. Guess where you're going to be? You're going to be on a Switch.
I think the idea of having exclusive titles for consoles is really going to kind of drive sales in a particular direction. I mean, that's why I think Sony has always kind of been... You know, I don't want to say, like, the front runner, because I think, you know, Nintendo is kind of picking that up with now the Switch. But, you know, I feel like Xbox, and don't get me wrong, I love Xbox. Like, I play my husband's Xbox all the time. Way more than his PS4. Because, one, I don't have one. But, two, because we don't need one, because we have one in the house already. But I find that I'm more apt to jump on an Xbox to do all my other socially type things, like watch Hulu or go on YouTube, or, you know, though I do stream Twitch on the PS4. But, like, I do find all my, all of my other internet-based things that I like to do, media-driven things, I do on the Xbox. I don't do them on PS4 because I think the user interface is sorely lacking and it doesn't pull me in. Now, I mean, I know Nintendo has a big stance on not doing a lot of that on their platforms. So, I mean, it's strictly a family gaming console. They don't want it to be anything else. And, I mean, that's fine if that wants to be your thing. But, you know, I think if it did, it would blow up the market. There'd be a black hole and everything would get sucked into it.
Okay, I mean, that's one way to look at it. I don't think that it would be, you know, black hole...
Game Oblivion!
Right. I don't think it's, like, that tragic, but...
I mean, it's not tragic. Like, I'm not crying about it. I'm just saying that I think each of the systems, if you're able to be a multi-consoled home, which I feel like if we actually did, like, a poll, you'd actually find that most averages, you've got two or three in the home. You have a Switch and something else, it seems to be.
I think for, you know, again, diehard, you know, console gamers, that's true. I think for your casual gamer, probably not. They probably buy into one system and that's where they stay until there's something that exists only on one and not on the other that makes them then pick up the next console. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think that's kind of how most households work.
I just believe every household's like mine.
Right. And every household isn't like that.
No, they're not.
But I do think that this makes the Xbox much more accessible for people who have been on the fence about getting another system or getting a system in general, because it is a big investment when you get a system, because you got to get controllers and then you got to get battery chargers and extra cables. And oh yeah, don't forget the damn games. But now you're getting a whole system already with Live, so that means that you can do online play. So you don't get the sticker shock of, oh, I just bought a $400 system. Now I got to pay $70 to have, you know, the ability to play with my friends for a year. Oh, and now I need to buy games. So really coming out of the gate, unless you're getting a bundle that comes with games, you're talking at least $700 walking out of the door if you're getting Live, if you're getting a couple of games and you're getting a box, right? And another controller. Or you can get the same thing, except now you're going to have Games Pass, which means that already out of the gate, you're going to have access to over 100 games from day one when you take the system home. And oh, by the way, you don't have to put any money down. You can just take the system home for $22 a month or $35 a month.
I'm still, like, shook
for 2 years. And so that's access to Game Pass the entire time you have the box. Access to online play the entire time you have the box.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, and you have the box. And there's a lot of first-party titles that are in Game Pass. All of Gears is in there. Halo's in there. Sea of Thieves is in there. I don't think that Cuphead's in there yet. Yeah, I don't think Cuphead's in there yet. But you do have Ori in there. You have ReCore in there. You have a lot of first-party titles, as well as a bunch of third-party and indie. A bunch of games that are in back compat. So even if you didn't have those games, you can now play them. So like Saints Row 4 is in there, both Reloaded and the Get Out of Hell stuff, I mean. So like there's a lot that you get for either $22 or $35 a month. Like I'll be really honest.
That's
like,
wow.
I got to get a couch because I need to replace my couch. But this holiday season, if I can find, you know, a 60-inch or better HDR TV for under $500, I'm probably going to do the all-access for the Xbox One X rather than wait 6 months and try to buy one outright.
Wow. It really, I feel like this is, like, we're on a crossroad here. Because, like, if this takes off, and with the price points where they're sitting right now, it makes no sense to me why everybody who wants a console doesn't do this.
Right.
Like, there's no, like, okay, like, maybe
like
you're...
Xbox
maybe
move some units with this subscription.
Like, if you're living under a bridge because you a troll, like, if you could find a TV and a free internet...
Well, I mean,
if
let's
you're,
walk
if
it
you're
back,
near
right?
a Starbucks, you could even make this work. But,
Let's walk it back, right? So for a hot second, remember that you've been talking about getting your own Xbox at some point.
I did, yeah.
Okay. And yeah. The barrier for you getting the Xbox at the time was funds.
Well, I mean, it was just... It's okay. Yes.
You're not playing your PlayStation in your office now.
No.
But you're playing your PlayStation.
Yes, because it's because it's connected to our 70-inch TV.
Right. I feel you.
Like, in my office, I have a 27-inch TV, which he likes to giggle at, and, like, I have performance anxieties when he likes to talk about it.
My little
27-inch Toshiba.
It's not about the size, it's about how you use it.
Right. But, like, he calls it out, and I'm like, that's true. Why play it on the 27 when I can play it on the 70? But then we have to fight over who plays it on the 70, because we only have one 70-inch TV.
Right. So, what I'm saying to you is, okay, that was one of your barriers.
Price. Right. Okay.
The second one was...
Practicality, really. Is really the
big
one.
Right, because you have an Xbox in your living room hooked up to your 70-inch TV.
Yeah.
But you have to share.
Yeah. Which we have problems with sometimes.
Sometimes that's difficult when there's a game that you want to play.
Right. Okay?
Like, I have my core Xbox is on our living room TV. So when I want a game, my husband very graciously banishes himself to the office, to his 27-inch screen, to watch movies and do other things on the internet while mama gets a game time in. Right?
Very thoughtful.
Then I have my Xbox for streaming that's up here in the stream room, in the studio, where I'm doing the podcast from and where we're going to be streaming on Mixer for another project that we're working on, right?
Right.
I have that up here. But like I said, I do want to retire my main Xbox because it's just a day one, like pre-ordered through Amazon at the media briefing when the box was announced. It's day one Xbox. And I really do want to retire it before it starts having problems.
I think it's had a good run. So
It has. It has been a solid machine. You know, unlike my 360, which I think I ended up replacing 3 or 4 times for Red Ring, like, I haven't had a single hardware issue at all.
Knock on all the wood.
Right?
Right now.
With my day one Xbox. And I've been running the test betas on that box. And again, for the things that I'm doing on it, haven't had a single issue, right? Knocking on the wood. But I do want to upgrade my home theater because we are staying in more than going out these days. you know, I'm waiting for movies to come out on digital more rather than going to see them in the theater. It's really like destination movies that I tend to go to the theater for now. So like, in all honesty, if I'd been feeling better, I absolutely would have gone out to the theater to see Crazy Rich Asians because I really want to see that. But I am doing more entertainment in my home. So I do want a better TV. I have a really nice TV. But, you know, I go over to your house and I also have performance anxiety. So I'm like, my TV's not as big as theirs. This is a big TV. How can I put a 70-inch in my living room? Well, I really don't have an ability to put a 70-inch in my living room. We did the math. We took the measurements. The biggest that I can put in and still be able to open my front door, which is important, is 65. And even at that, I would have to mount it on the wall. So, like, that's as big as I can go. And I'm okay with that. I've accepted that, you know, because that's what you do when you're an adult. But I do want to get a 4K TV at this point because I do also want to upgrade my Apple TV because I would like to have a 4K Apple TV because we're watching more things at home, in the living room, through the Apple TV or through, you know, my console. We're primarily streaming stuff through the Apple TV. So I do want initially to get a 4K TV and a 4K Apple TV because I'm watching a lot of stuff, you know, movies that I'm buying in iTunes. I don't really play a lot of the Apple TV games, and then I switch over to my consoles when we're done watching the streaming stuff that we're watching. You know, Netflix and Hulu and all those guys. Crunchyroll, Drama Fever, because K-dramas represent.
I use the I moved into Taiwanese.
See, anyway, I moved into what seems to have an interesting plot and involves chaebols. But anyway, I'm doing much more in my home entertainment center. So I want it to be not top of the line because I don't need to be like bleeding edge cool person, but I do want it to be, you know, the best quality that I can afford because I'm spending more time in front of it.
Right.
And so, you know, initially the plan was, okay, first we get the 4K TV. Then, you know, once budget recovers, we get the Apple TV. And then after that budget recovery, that's when I'll get the Xbox One X because I do want a One X because I do tend to, outside of Destiny, play on the Xbox more than my PlayStation 4. Like my PlayStation 4 got turned on for God of War, which you still haven't played and you need to fix your life. Destiny 2, which I'm going to talk about later on. And Last of Us. It's like core, like only PlayStation only games that I really enjoy. That's when my PlayStation gets turned off. So after I completed main story and did most of the side quests that I actually could complete, because I just can't beat the last fucking Valkyrie. I can't do it. That Most Valheim chick just is driving me out the freaking wall. So I'm pretty much done with God of War as far as I can go with it. And I'm not interested in doing New Game Plus, which they added, but I'm like, meh.
It's like, you know what? I'll pass.
I'm good. Because there's other things coming out. You know, Shadow of the Tomb Raiders on the verge. Destiny 2's expansion, Forsaken, drops September 4th. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. Because I have some thoughts and opinions. But, like, overall, I game on my Xbox. That's where I play Assassin's Creed. That's where I play, you know, most of my action-adventure titles. So, like, I'll be playing Tomb Raider on my Xbox. I'll be playing... I'm not a big Halo person. I enjoy it, but I'm probably going to replay 5 Guardians because I like Spartan Locke and I haven't touched that game in like forever. But you know, when I play Saints Row, it's on my Xbox. When I play Grand Theft Auto, it's on my Xbox. Where I tend to play more is on the Xbox. And that's where the bulk of like my friends are as well. So if I'm going to play a multiplayer game, more times than not, it's on my Xbox. So I do want to update my Xbox. Like I personally don't have any desire for a PS4 Pro. When I get the 4K TV, I will not be upgrading my PS4 to a Pro. I just don't have a need for it because, again, the games I'm going to play, primarily, I don't need the Pro for. Like, I'm not going to feel bad about playing the next Last of Us game on just a regular PlayStation and not a Pro. But I do kind of want to play whatever new Gears game drops on an Xbox One X. And sure, that's a little girly of me, but you know what? I don't care. I'm probably going to get the TV and I'll be able to do the Xbox One X and the Apple TV at the same time. As opposed to having to wait. I'm really excited about that. Because this now makes it an affordable box for families. Like you said, it makes it an affordable box.
It makes it ridiculous. Students. It's ridiculously affordable. There is no reason to not.
$22 or $35 a month for 2 years.
Like
you know, and if you're already somebody who subscribes to like Netflix and Hulu and things like that, you can access those apps on the console.
Yep. That's how we do it here in
if you want to get off of the Roku life, you can do it now for $22 a month. Or 35 as the case may be. Like me personally, I am probably gonna end up doing the $35 a month for the Xbox One X after I get a 4K TV. Like it's a done deal. Like in my mind, it's okay, get the TV mounted, okay, great. Now get your Xbox. Bring your gamer tag over, designate it as your home console. Bob's your uncle.
Yep. Done. It's painless.
It is. Because I can just put that on automatic payment and I'm not going to miss that $35.
No.
That's but a you whole will, lot you... easier on my wallet than $900.
That's right. Drop. Like it's... Ugh.
Okay, so I have to say, it's one of the smartest moves that I have seen Microsoft make in a long time.
Yeah, I was just about to say the exact same thing.
You know, I kind of, you know, when they announced it, I was like, duh, you guys should have done this when you came out with the Xbox One X. Because, like, think of, like, what would that announcement have been at E3 if they had said, and here's the console, oh, Scorpio, and here's the deal. Now... for $35 a month, you can walk out of here with this box and gold. Because, like, Game Pass.
Oh, my God. Like, it would have broken the fucking internet.
Like, nobody would have been talking about Sony at all that E3 if they had done that. And I understand that it took them a while to realize that, you know, subscription works.
I think they wanted to see in their numbers just how hard it is to push hardware. Because I think they've seen a drop in their hardware. Yeah,
absolutely.
And they're like, how do we get these boxes out? Oh, right. let's make this subscription.
Well, who can we look? Who's doing a really good job of pushing very expensive hardware out in a way that people, like, don't even care, don't feel it? It's a non-issue. Like,
when I mean, you Apple just kind of see that. You could just see the trend in, commercialism. Period.
Right.
You have all these boxes now that food comes to your house for so much a month. You can get your clothes sent to your house, five items in a box.
Look,
you could get
box service subscription thing isn't anything new.
And no.
Subscription services isn't anything new. But I do think that Microsoft kind of went, okay, let's look at the market and see how are people that have very expensive pieces of hardware, how are they getting people to buy their stuff and not complain about the price point, like for it to not be painful. And I think that they looked at the smartphone market. You know, they looked at what Apple is doing and they looked at what Samsung is doing and what subscription works. People are getting into these 2-year contracts and they don't feel, you know, bad about it as long as they have a way to wiggle out of it. They don't feel bad about locking themselves into a 2-year contract if they can do, you know, low monthly payments. And the retention is that they tend to stay because they like the, I can get the new thing by the time this contract is up for the same price point. And when we should do that. Where I think that they really like put their foot in it in a good way is they added Games Pass to the bundle and not just gold. Because that gives you right out of the gate
access to play.
If you're getting a terabyte console with Games Pass, you go home, you set up your gamer tag, you now have 100 games to play.
Yep. I mean, granted, you gotta download them.
You gotta download them.
But that's what you do the first day. You make your account, you download the games you want to play, and then you've got shit done.
Right.
No running to the evil G.
No evil G runs.
I mean, unless you want to go to the evil G.
That's on you.
That's you.
Okay.
But it's like, right there for you in your living room at the snap of a Thanos finger.
Right. And there's all different kinds of games. Like I said, there's ID games, there's puzzles, there's fighters. There's a little bit for everybody to try. I think that that is a bang up on.
It is.
And I applaud Microsoft for doing it. I wish they had been able to do it a little bit sooner, but I think announcing this right before holiday is genius
banger
timing.
It's
team. Well done.
Slow clap.
Okay. Because that's the way you go into holiday when you don't really have a lot of first party exclusives going into holiday. Because Microsoft doesn't. It's all third party going into holiday. Because we have a few without.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's a really smart move. I'm glad to see it. I will be taking advantage of it. First, I got to get this TV. But before I get the TV, I got to get the couch. It's a process. It's a process, people. So that's one thing that I have. The other thing that I have that was announced at PAX West, and this is really what kicked my FOMO into, like, high gear.
Uh-huh.
There's a new Streets of Rage game.
Yep. I was at my job, which I can't disclose exactly what I do at my job, but
right,
like...
Right, but you were at your job.
I was at my job.
Jail.
And I mean, I saw it come out of KBD's Facebook because I was finally in an area where I could like look at my phone and I saw it and the first thing I said was, what?
No.
I was like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. How many times on this fucking show have I been like, when are we getting a new Streets of Rage?
Right?
Like, when? I think I've said that, and I'm like, when are we getting, like, another Samurai Showdown? Like, I'd love another one of those. When are we going to get another one of those? But I was like, Streets of Rage. I was hungry for it. My husband went and got, like, a Raspberry so that he could get me, like, an emulator so I could, like, go back in time. And it was okay, but it wasn't right. Like, I needed something new for me now and not the me then. Me then was satisfied. It was the me now that was not satisfied. So as soon as I saw that announcement, I was like, well, fuck me. It's time.
Yep. So Dot Emu and Lizard Q, who
made Wonder Boy. I think they're the publisher and developer. For Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Which is a great game if you've never played that.
Yeah. Super fantastic game. But they are releasing the game. They've been working with Sega to do it. Hat tip Sega.
Sega.
But it's going to feature your boy, Axel, and the dopest homegirl ever, Blaze.
You know, is it just them? Or are they only showing them right now?
So it's right now they're showing them.
Okay, because I'm just saying, Streets of Rage 3, like, where's Skate?
Well, that was in 3.
Where's Skate?
But
well,
Skate
no, that was 2.
Skate wasn't in
2. Was 2?
He was. It wasn't in the original.
No, I know in the original. Streets of Rage, before the numbers kicked in. I know.
It was just Axel and Blaze.
And Blaze. So like, I got it.
I think they're doing the true retro here. That's not to say that they may not announce other characters, but right now they're saying that it's going to feature Axel and Blaze in the game in a new, completely original arcade style game. I'm hyped. I'm so hyped. I'm like,
I mean,
so
from the from the screenshots that we've seen, like, it kind of reminds me of that fresh style that we saw in like the Shaq Reborn. We've also kind of seen in, well, obviously Wonder Boy, because you know that it's that team. But like, I like this fresh perspective, and I mean, they're doing just enough to make you feel like, oh yeah, this is Def Streets of Rage. Like, Blaze is rocking her red crop top mini skirt combo. Like, love that she's looking a little thick in the legs. kind of got some Chung Lee-isms happening.
Yeah.
I ain't mad.
I'm not
with all the kicks that you're doing, it makes goddamn sense.
Yeah, you got a lot of power in them legs kicking that much.
You know, so I'm like, you know, I'm very
Blaze
surprised
did not
that
skip leg day.
No. But you know what I'm surprised about is that we haven't seen too many people cosplay. I don't think I've seen, like, a serious Blaze or Axel cosplay for Streets of Rage.
Not in any of the shows that I've been. I've seen some Axels. I have seen some Axels. Okay. But I have not seen Blazes.
So.
And there was one of the PAX East that we went to that I did see Escape. And a lot of people kept confusing him for a character from Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, well, yeah, I could see why they would do that.
Yeah. So I have, but to the point, not in abundance, right?
Right.
And that's one of the nice things about cosplay is people, you know, cosplay characters that are near and dear to them. And I think that it just kind of shows how big the generational gap is in the cosplay arena right now, because you have so many people that are, you know, cosplaying as characters from, you know, League of Legends, or, you know, right now Overwatch cosplay is like through the roof, which I'm also not mad at.
I mean, there's enough players right. for everyone.
Yeah. But I'm really excited about the game. They didn't announce what consoles it's coming to yet, but looking at the art style, it should be available for all consoles. It would be surprising if it didn't come out for all consoles.
Switch.
Yeah, because, I mean, the art style very much, to me, kind of looks like Street Fighter V with just, like, a little more touch of Okamiden and Dead or Alive.
Okay.
Which I'm down for, because those two franchises are two of my favorite fighter franchises. And it definitely looks like there's more moves, more fighting moves, you know, not just kick, punch, which
well,
is nothing
remember,
wrong
I
with
think,
kick, kick,
but-
punch.
But I think later on in the Streets of Rage is outside, like, if this is, like, a reboot of the whole thing, then yes, in the beginning it'd be very minimal. Because then later on in 2 and 3, like, Skate got a special ability, and Blaze mm-hmm. had a special move. They all did. Though, Axel's looking a little weathered.
In some they're of the screen older. You know,
I'm just saying.
Look, he's been fighting in these streets.
I'm just saying.
And these streets are full of rage.
Blaze is looking pretty good and brushed off
well,
her
because
her
she
signature.
Likes to, she has her regimen that she likes to do, you know, to keep it tight.
I mean, nice. I'm not going to fight Axel regardless, but I just remember a very sleeker.
Well, look, here's the deal.
Triangle.
He had to get beefy.
Reverse triangle bodies.
Okay, because again, these streets is filled with rage.
I mean, okay. So much rage.
Like, so much rage in these streets.
Also,
okay?
I just want to know, like, how is it that in these streets we still got bitches with whips just out and about?
I want to know how is it that the original Streets of Rage game came out in 1991, and that was so long ago. That's what I want to know.
Man, that is true.
Why are the 90s so long ago?
And then... Why? I mean, granted, I think this, time is the enemy of all man, but.
True. Such
but
true.
I can still remember, like, I have such fond memories of playing Streets of Rage with you. Particularly two, because I don't think I came into one.
You didn't.
Until way later. But two, I was like, oh, I'm all about it, but you have to let me be the girl. Which then you're like, okay, fine.
Yep.
And then eventually, like, yeah, we're training, so I can be Blaze. Fine, I'll be Skate. That's fine.
And that's pretty much all we did was we ran into the game as Blaze and Skate.
And Skate.
Alternating.
All the time. But then I think it's three, there was that weird jungle-ish level with that freaking scary fucking face thing.
Yes.
Still haunts my nightmares to this day. Please do not bring that back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, the story is going to be an original story. So it's not just a reboot. It is a rejuvenation of the franchise. So very much in the way that the most latest Tomb Raider games were not a reboot but a revitalization, this is a revitalization of the franchise as well. So there's going to be new gameplay modes. There's going to be new gameplay mechanics. But it is going to be set in the Streets of Rage world that we kind of know. So these characters And, you know, even looking at the trailer, which if you haven't had a chance, definitely check out the trailer.
I have not seen it yet.
We'll try to put a link to the trailer in the notes for this podcast on the site so you can check them out. But the trailer is absolutely gorgeous. You should watch the trailer because, like, you're going to salivate just a little bit.
I already do.
If you love the franchise at any point in time in your childhood, in my case, the 90s, all of the 90s, because I think Streets of Rage 3 came out like 94, 93 or 94. I think it was 94.
Well, I thought, oh yeah. No, because we had Streets of Rage, which came out, what, 91?
Yep.
Then we had Streets of Rage 2, which I think came out shortly after that. I think only 2 years difference.
I think, yeah, I think it was 92
or 93.
Yep. And then he had the final one in 94.
Yeah. Like,
so they, we haven't had a new Streets of Rage game since 94.
Oh God, it hurts. It hurts. I'm glad it's here. Okay. I want Blaze and Axel to be together, and like they have kids, and their kids were in the cops in like the special unit, and like, they were undercover, and they haven't come back. So now dad and like, mom
here's,
are hitting
here's how you feel old. Ready? In 92, okay, when Streets of Rage 2 came out, I was in 6th grade.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So that meant that you, my dear, were in.
Wait, I'm like 5 years younger than you. I was
five
like,
and
what?
A half.
I was like, what? No, I couldn't have been that little.
I wasn't six. In
no,
sixth
you were in
grade.
Six. You were in 6th grade.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait. So you were
like
in 12?
Kindergarten.
Oh my God.
You were in kindergarten.
Man.
And we were playing Streets of Rage.
Well, I mean, I think it took me a while because I think I would confuse Streets of Rage with the Fury game where like, yeah. And there was a guy in there.
I had them all because I liked that style. So I had Final Fury.
Whichever one where they turned into animals and fought.
I had.
Bestial Fury? Animal Fury? Something like that.
No.
It was something with, where they turned into like their
primal fear.
Yeah. Primal Fury, I think, or something like that.
Yes.
That one
Fury.
Scared me because one of them
turned into
something that scared me.
Yep.
And I was like, I won't play it. And you were like, no, Streets of Rage is not the same game. And I was like, prove it. And then she
Primal
played
Fury.
It. And then I was like, okay, I will play this with you.
Yep.
And I would just smack the buttons and jump in corners all the time.
Because I live fighters. So I had Final Fight. I had Primal Fury. I had Streets of Rage, Double Dragon,
yeah,
Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got the N64, we got Killer Instinct Gold.
Yep, I'm members.
Because like that's what I lived as a kid on consoles. Like I didn't really do a lot of action platformers as a kid.
I did that.
And Virtual Fighter. I had Virtual Fighter. And I sucked at it, but I had Virtual Fighter. You know, because that's what I enjoyed playing because I mostly played against the computer until you got the skills and then I made you my forever player too.
Well, I mean, I did get the skills. I got enough skills for you to beat
you
me and not
got
feel
skills.
Bad about it.
You eventually got skills.
I had to learn everything backwards.
Right, but you did and that and made you a better fighter for when you took on other people.
And then people wonder
you beat
why
everybody
my logic
else
is
that
backwards.
You played except for me.
Yeah,
like,
until
take pride in that.
Until Hot Mess showed up, and then
yeah,
he became
but,
button.
I mean, he has three fingers.
He's a button masher.
He's just a button masher that just lucks into stuff.
Like,
he has no strategy.
No, he just, I'm going to hit all these buttons and hope that your skill, you're going to walk into something
right.
Or counter something. I get it.
And
I
really, his mashing
just
really helps him in Mortal Kombat.
I just feel like that character from Kung Pao
Dead
Enter the Fist, who purposely got trained wrong by everyone as a joke.
And then the student became the master.
No, actually, in Compound of Fist, it didn't, and he just didn't know how to fight, and he would get beat up all the time.
Well,
so you I just mean, learn, you just learn to suck less. But anyway, but Totes, I can't wait for them to announce what this is going to be on. I anticipate we will see this cross all the platforms, but I definitely feel we will see this in Switch land.
Definitely. I think that's a definite.
I see that coming.
And I think
it's coming.
That makes it a strong fighter for the platform.
But I mean, either way, like if we get it for the Xbox, if you jump into the subscription shit,
here's the thing.
You'll be it.
Again,
I mean,
there's
it's not,
no way you're going to go wrong. Again, you can't. It's either going to come out. I don't think it's going to be exclusive to like one system. So no. I think it's going to be a multiple systems. Okay, whether or not it's consoles and PC is really the only place that I have a question now. I'm almost 100% sure that it's going to be.
I don't
on
know
Switch,
if the UI.
And
I don't know if this could be played
fighters
well.
Can absolutely be played on computer, on desktop, especially because you know whether you want to keyboard it or because you can build macros for stuff like people.
That's
do that.
True. That's very true.
And you can,
that's right.
You know, there are so many people on desktop now that are using controllers as well to play games because you can.
Yep,
you can very easily use the Xbox controller on a PC to play a game. So I don't think that there's anything that prohibits it from coming to PC. My only question is whether or not they're going to port it to PC or not. That's really my question. I'm 100% sure that you'll see it on Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. What I don't know is if you're going to see it on Steam as well. That's the only question I have.
I guess we'll find out later.
We will. But I was really excited to see that announcement come out of PAX West. And then, like I said, the Xbox All Access, I think, is just a fantastic move, you know, marketing-wise. And the timing is just absolutely perfect. And the price points, I think, are really – you can't get any better than that. Sub-$25, sub-$40 a month subscriptions to get you a 4K Xbox with Live and Games Pass Access for 2 years is, you know, pretty damn dope. You know, because unlike a phone that you're going to switch out every year, you're not going to switch a console out every year. So a 2 year subscription on a console is about the right length of time for you to have a console subscription. Because think about it, for most systems, you have them for 3 years and then a new system comes out. So we'll paid off your system and have your system for 2 years and have a whole nother year before the dev of the next gen consoles comes out. It's brilliant. And I think it should really get Sony thinking, because if Microsoft keeps this in place, you know, Microsoft and Sony have already said that they're working on their next generation consoles. Can you imagine what the console announcement at a future E3 will be if they come out with their new system and Microsoft says, and it's part of Xbox All Access, so you can get the system today for $39.99 a month with 2 years of Live and 2 years of Game Pass. Those things are going to fly off the shelves.
True.
Versus a $400 investment thing. So if they keep the subscription thing up, I think that Microsoft has a model to once again make them a contender in the space as far as like numbers go, because that's really where they get crushed, is that, you know, people say all the time that they're not moving boxes like Sony is. Sony's not moving boxes like Nintendo is. So therefore, they're quote unquote losing the race. I don't think so. I think that they're making, you know, a quality box now, because there's not a lot of news of people having to take their Xboxes in to be fixed, just like on the PlayStation side. There's not a lot of news of that. But, you know, they're behind everybody in popularity because of missteps that they made marketing-wise and focus-wise of the box. You know, the year that they forgot that, you know, gamers want to play games and not necessarily just stream stuff. Took them a while to come back from that. And, right. And I don't think that they ever recovered from that, but I think that this is a step in a good direction for them. And I'm sold on it, so I'll be doing it.
It's like, take my money once
gonna
a
get
month.
My money. They're going to get my money once a month. Like, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to be. They're going to get my money. But that's just it. They're going to get the money. And in all honesty, more than likely, what I'll end up doing is trading in my day one system when I get this new plan and using those extra funds to buy games, because mama needs some collector's editions. All right, so the last thing I'm going to put on the table is, of course, you know, I have to talk about Destiny, because I have to talk about Destiny. But I'm kind of sad. I don't have a big mad, but I have a little mad.
Okay, a little mad.
Yeah, so I pre-ordered Forsaken, like, as soon as I saw the announcement that was in the end credits of Sony's still what-the-fuck-was-that media briefing at E3, because I have loved Destiny for a very long time, as any long-time listener of the podcast knows.
Yep.
And I made the investment. I'd already bought, you know, the season pass. So I'm like, I'm going to get this expansion because it takes you back to the reef. And I always felt like that was like a story that they never tied up in the previous game. What the hell is actually going on in the reef? And, you know, they kicked it off right in that I run Hunter, you know, because there's three classes in the game. Hunter, Warlock, Titan. I run Hunter as my main. And Cade, the Vanguard for Hunters, is killed. That's the genesis of the Forsaken story. Is that this stupid dude who was like the Queen's brother or whatever, Aldrian?
Yes. Oh, I remember Douchebag McGee.
Yeah, Douchebag Nutface McGee. Fucking clocks Kane with a handgun, kills him. So, like, if you watch the trailers right now for the game, it's Ikora and...
Zavala?
Yeah. So, Ikora and Zavala standing over Cade's corpse with a blanket over him. And Ikora basically saying, if we don't take action for this, then it's... And Zavala's like, shit. And she's like, cowardice. So, like, the Guardians are like, oh, we're going over the river right now. So, as with any update, that, like I said, I pre-ordered. So, the other night I went to go play some Destiny because I'm still trying to get my Warlock through Endgame. I haven't done that yet. I'm trying. And it was like, oh, before you can play, we got to do this 35 and a half gig download. I was like, oh, okay, all right. This expansion is big because they're not joking. It was 35 gigs. I was like, well, shit, I'm going to have to knock some things off my PlayStation here to make room for it. So I was like, well, goodbye, Uncharted 4. I have completed you 3 times now, so we're good. But then when I got in, I was like, okay, so I can't play the Forsaken stuff yet because it doesn't officially unlock until September 4th. But a bunch of the updates to the system were already in there, and one of them pissed me the fuck off. I have no other words to say it, so I just have to say it like that. I apologize for the language, but also sorry, not sorry. So, you know how you would get different classes of weapons in the game? From commons to rares to legendaries to exotics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, everything that you would get, including weapons that you got from drops from Ingrams, would drop at a certain power level. And in order for you to beef up those weapons, you would have to dismantle a weapon.
You'd have to break shit.
Uh-huh. Of a higher level and trade in some legendary shards as in addition to this dismantle to empower the weapon, right? So if I had 2 shotguns that were, you know, legendary, but 1 shotgun was a 380 and the other shotgun was a 320, but I really actually liked the 320 gun better. And if I could just beef it up to be that 380, that would be dope. I could infuse the 380 weapon into the 320 weapon. And it would cost me some glimmer, some money, and legendary shards. And it would tell me when I went to infuse the weapon, what weapons I had in my stash that I could infuse them for, and tell me how many legendary shards I had to give up to infuse the weapon. Remember that?
Yep, I remember.
Okay, well, in the new game, not only do you have to have legendary shards, you also have to have a certain amount of elements.
Elements?
Uh-huh. So you know how you would go to different planets and they'd have, like, their random collectible? So it's like dusk shards on one planet and stupid crystals on another. So now to infuse weapons, because you can infuse any weapon into any weapon. So it doesn't have to be like for like. So you can infuse a shotgun into a sniper.
Okay.
But to do it, you have to have legendary shards and so many of those elements, which means you're going to have to grind planets because the elemental thing that you have to have varies from weapon to weapon. So you're like, oh, I want to infuse this weapon with this weapon. Well, you got it on this planet, so you're going to need actually 25 or 40 of these dust shards from the EDZ because you got it on Earth, plus 25 legendary shards, which don't come easily, by the way. If you're not playing Crucible all the fucking time or running the Nightmare Strike or the Heroic Strikes, unless you're running those things or raid all the time, you don't just get legendary shards, which means that you're constantly dismantling other legendary weapons or exotic weapons to get the shards. But you need shards now and these elements before you can actually infuse a weapon into a weapon. And I hate that. Absolutely hate it. Because I don't play Crucible. I don't play Crucible.
Well, they're trying to force you now.
Yep. And that's where I'm disappointed, because I'm like, you're forcing me to play the game in the way that you want me to play the game and not letting me play the game that I want to play the game and still be able to advance. Like, all my characters are stuck at level 340 because I don't run raid, because I don't have a group to run the raid with, because my entire clan is playing Fortnite. Like, my entire clan. There's like 60 of us in this clan. They're all playing Fortnite. It's ridiculous. And they're trying to get me to play Fortnite. I'm like, no, guys, I'm over here. Like, I'm trying to do the Warmind thing. Like, come help
me. Yeah, but
and they're like, Fortnite. Fortnite. And I'm like, oh, fine, fuck it, whatever. I blame Ninja and Drake, but cool. So, like, but my entire clan is, like, in Fortnite land. So I don't have anybody to run raid with. I don't have anybody to run Nightmare Strikes with. So I haven't done them. Like, I haven't run either raid or raid dungeon, because that was a new thing. There's lairs in the raid, and then there's, like, the whole raid. Haven't run either of them, so I haven't been able to get any weapons above a 340. So I can't get my character above 345.
Well, bro, just leave your guild and find a new guild. I mean,
it's hard finding a new guild. Like, you don't know if you're going to fit in. I don't know anybody in no guilds. So, like,
I mean, just find one.
Okay? I'm pish-snickety about playing with people online. I need to know that there's no douche nozzles. And that's the one thing that I liked about my clan. It's like, I knew the founders.
Yeah, well, now they're all playing Fortnite, and they ain't playing with you.
Fucking Fortnite, right? Which, again, don't get me wrong. Fortnite's great. It's just not my shit. But, like, I'm my main hope right now, because I hate this weapon system. I hate it. Like, just make it one thing that I have to get. I'm already getting rid of a weapon. So I'm losing a weapon in this trade. Why do I have to lose legendary shards plus these elements? Because now you're forcing me to go back and touch every single planet just to hunt for these crystals. Just so I can infuse a weapon. And it's way too much work. And they don't, so unless you're going to change how you drop legendary shards, which again, Forsaken hasn't completely come out. So it's just the minor changes in the organization of the world that you can see and the weapon system. I will say that I appear to be getting drops of more ammo, more weapons, and more armor. You know, the rare kinds, the blue kinds, and not the purples and the exotics. So I'm hopeful that with whatever new missions are going to come, that there's just going to be, like, mad drops or different ways that you can get legendary shards and not just burning your existing weapons. And I'm hopeful that the level is going to raise so that automatically when you run these new missions, just like they've done in previous ones, when you run the new missions, the weapons that drop at a higher rate. Because there's no path for me to 380 without it. Which means there's no ninja playing the game anymore. Because I've capped out at what I can actually do. Because to do, like, the heroic strikes, you got to be level 350 or above. And I can't get to 350. Aww. So I can't run them. So all I can do is run back and do, like, the little adventures and public events on planets. And that gets old really, really fucking quick.
Sounds like you need a new clan, bro. Gotta go make some new friends, bro. Unless you want to get into Fortnite, bro. And hey, no. It's free.
No. No.
It's
no,
free.
No, no, and no.
It's free.
And only Battle Royale is free.
Right.
So eventually, at some point in time, the actual Fortnite game, because I think a lot of people forget that there is a single-player campaign in Fortnite. It does exist. It has a story mode.
Right, but okay. until that's ready,
like,
all
everybody's
your bros,
playing Battle Royale. Everybody is playing Battle Royale. Every time I turn on my PlayStation, I look at my friends list. It's like, Fortnite, 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 Netflix, Fortnite, Fortnite, Fortnite.
Yep.
Overwatch, Fortnite. God damn.
Yeah. So pick a camp.
Destiny right now, is I'm not still the, camp not Destiny. The... I'm hopeful that, like I said, when Forsaken completely drops on the 4th, that what will happen, this is my...
People will rush hope, back to play the downloadable content.
That people will come back will come to back. Play the new DLC.
And, but as soon as they get what they want to get, they're going to jump back to Fortnite. So,
look, I'm okay with you spending half your week in Fortnite just like, you know, just clean. Baby, come back.
Yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath because I'll turn blue.
Me. I was wrong. And I just can't live without you. I can't level.
No, you can't.
But I don't like the system. I like the idea of being able to, you know, infuse any weapon into another weapon because I really didn't like the, you can only put a pulse rifle into a pulse rifle. So you had to, like, hope and pray that you got a drop of a pulse
rifle. Yeah, well, look what they've now done with the fact that you could do that. Now they've made it, like, not fun.
Right. And that's, like, really, really, like, at the core, I think, of why I have, like, the little mad is because, like, they keep doing things to the game that make it not fun to
it's
play.
Like, hey guys, you want this? We'll give you this, but we're also going to put this restriction on it.
Right.
Fuck like, remember, you.
Remember when I was talking about how, you know, just making a game a Dark Souls of its genre because everybody seems to lose their nut over Dark Souls? I would like to remind the game developers, not all of us like Dark Souls. Play it. Because it's too fucking hard. And I don't like bashing my head against the wall. Just to bash my head against the wall.
It's not about bashing your head against the wall.
I finally bashed the wall enough to drive that nail in, and I'm so proud of myself. Sure, I have a massive concussion, but that nail's in that wall, and I did it with my head. No, that's not a braggadocio thing that I want to do. What I would be like is, yeah, I had to put a nail in the wall, so you know what? I got a hammer. I got a hammer that's electrified so that it actually, like, puts a laser on exactly where I need to hit on the nail to drive this nail in perfectly every time by itself. And then I just hit this little mounting bracket, and I hit a button, and it drives all these nails in a row for me. Isn't that dope? That's what I would brag about. Okay? Because not all of us like the Dark Souls. I respect Dark Souls. Okay, I do, and I have so much respect. Like, I'm not bullshitting. I have a lot of respect for people that can go in for that punishment, because that's what it is, because you learn by trial and error, and you get punished for your errors. Okay, and eventually you find the way, you figure it out, you work the strategy, and you surmount what felt like an insurmountable boss. Okay, because I've watched a lot of people play Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Bloodborne. I've watched you play many of those games, sis. I have a lot of respect for it. Me personally, every time I've tried those games, I get frustrated. I cannot figure it out. It is too difficult for me. And at the end of the day, I don't enjoy the game enough to want to get through it because it's not fun for me. And games at the end of the day should be fun.
That's true.
And so for me, those franchises are not fun. So when franchises that I love start picking up those elements of those games and put them into their games, they become not fun for me. And I'm at a point right now where Destiny is not fun.
Oh, that
and I keep
sad.
Trying to find a place and a way to make it fun. Like, I like the idea of Gambit. I might play that Crucible mode because the majority of it is PvE and not PvP.
Yeah, but so you know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, they're going to fuck it up and make it mostly PvP at some point.
Or rather, not even that. You're going to go into it, and people are going to go after the kill count, and they're not going to go after what the objective is. It's what happened in Overwatch.
Yeah, and that's when I won't play it anymore.
You know? You're just literally doomed.
So my hope right now is that when the full game releases, that the new missions, which right now only my hunter could possibly run, I'm hopeful that the level cap will auto-raise, that weapon drops that come in will drop at a higher rate and allow me to run around. So, like, literally right now, I'm running around different planets. trying to stockpile the elements of each planet so that I can infuse, hopefully, what will be a lot of rare drops into my existing exotics and legendaries to raise them up, including my armor, to, like, get me over that 350 hump so that I can play the rest of the game. Because if that doesn't happen, I'm probably done with Destiny.
You'll have to take a break.
It won't be a break. I'll be done with it. I will actually erase it off my PlayStation.
No, you won't. Yes, liar.
Yes, I will. Watch me.
You're a liar.
Watch me. That shit's eating up. That game is eating up, like, almost all of my hard drive at this point.
You love that game way too much.
I had to uninstall Uncharted 4 in order to put the expansion on my PlayStation. Because I'm not putting a new hard drive in my PlayStation. So my PlayStation's rocking its original hard drive.
So literally your PlayStation 4 should just be a Destiny box?
Right now, my PlayStation 4 is basically Destiny box. Because I have on my PlayStation 4 right now Destiny 2, God of War, Detroit, Last Guardian, and Headlander. That's what's installed on my PlayStation right now. Everything else is uninstalled. I don't have any streaming apps on my PlayStation. I had Funimation on there. I took it off. So, like, it is, in essence, my Destiny box. And when Last of Us comes out, Detroit is getting the boot. Actually, I probably ought to just delete God of War. I like seeing Kratos and Atreus on my screen when I start it up. So, I'll probably get rid of Detroit. But, yeah, my PlayStation's full because of Destiny. And if they're going to keep up this kind of mess, I can just take it off because I'm not going to Fortnite. So I can just take it off and I can put Uncharted back and put the Legacy Collection back in there so that I can actually play it and call it a day. But I guess it's about time to start wrapping this guy up because it's getting to be about that time. But this was a pretty good episode 600 considering like we didn't have a guest. Because everybody was at PAX.
It was so unfortunate.
Yeah. Like, everybody I reached out to, they were like, I'm going to be at PAX, and so I don't know, and I might have appointments. And I was like, this is not going to work, so let's, like, not even, like, try to make this a thing. But 600 episodes in, holy hell, who thought we'd be here? Talking about games, still talking about anime. If you enjoyed this podcast, then please make sure that you subscribe. You can get our podcast in iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for The Eshcast, Electric Sisterhood, and subscribing. You can also get our podcast on our website, electricsisterhood.com, and also check out some of the great articles, reviews, news, and other things that the team is writing about. The entire content creation team of Esh posts stuff there on the regular, so make sure that you bookmark our site to do that. You can reach out to us through our social. We are on Instagram at ESH News and Twitter at ESH News as well. You can also get to us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh. If you have any questions or there's something that you'd like to see us review or check out or get our opinions on, hit us up, let us know, add us, like our stuff, comment, subscribe. You know the deals with the socials, folks. But we appreciate being no longer the best kept secret on the internet. If you like what we do here at Esh, then please make sure that you check out all the other great sites and content that the other content creators that are part of our network are creating. That includes our homie, King Baby Duck KBD, over at B3Crew.com with his podcast, No Borders, No Race, where he spins some of the most eclectic, eccentric, but really cool music from across the globe in pop and rock and all kinds of stuff. You definitely need to make sure that you check him out and bookmark his site, like I said, b3crew.com. Our homie, Hamsman2049, streaming live on Twitch every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern, playing new games and old games all the time. Make sure you check them out. They're fantastically fun live streams. And his site, smashedrook.com. One of my favorite humans on the planet, our homie, Phil the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review. My favorite recap show on YouTube, hands down. Make sure that you check out his channel. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell so you stay notified, all that good stuff. And you can check out his archive of shows as well as some of his written stuff on his website, issuesprogram.com. And last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com. keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, whether it's comic books and movies, TV shows, anime, manga, games, and more. If nerds are talking about it, then the nerds over at Nerd Crave have got you covered, and they're talking about it too. So with that, it's time for us to say goodbye, but not farewell. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time,
titties.